All right, I'm going to begin this sermon by giving you guys a few options. Option A, hands on your head. Option B, hands on your hips. All right? So option A, do you prefer Coca-Cola or Pepsi? What do you prefer? Hands on heads for Coca-Cola, hands on hips for Pepsi. You got to pick one. All right, seems Coke's more popular. All right, what do you prefer, McDonald's or KFC? Ooh, a bit more divided here. There you go. What about Subway or Domino's? What about, do you prefer the indoors or outdoors? Indoors or outdoors? Bit of both, yep. How about, do you prefer singing or dancing? Singing or dancing? Oh, everyone's voting singing. You're seeing this, Kai? A lot more singers at the church for the band. Yeah. All right, a couple more. Do you prefer going to the beach or going for a bushwalk? Beach or bushwalk? Yeah, beach. But yeah, that's pretty good. This one's for Mark Neveson. Dragons or dragons? Which one do you prefer? Not either. How about this one? Do you prefer God or money? Ooh. Now that one, now that is, that's a little bit more awkward, isn't it? Because I know deep down in my heart, I want to go, yes, God. But I know there's times where I seem to prefer money or idolize money more than I worship God. And this is what Jesus says here. He puts it quite bluntly. He says in verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." You cannot serve both God and money. It's impossible. It's like you cannot be a Dragons fan and a Sharks fan. You cannot vote Liberal or Labor. It's either Mac or PC. You cannot serve God or money. And so my big idea tonight is this. We cannot serve two masters. And these are the three points I'd like to make from the passage. The attitude of our world when it comes to money. The Christian attitude when it should come to money. And seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And so first of all, what is the attitude of this world, the general attitude of this world? Well, read with me again verse 19. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." Now, I think this one line summarizes generally the attitude of this world. To store up for yourself treasures on earth. And sometimes people have this attitude. Whoever has the most stuff wins. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Or do you feel like that in the world? Sometimes a bit of a competition. Whoever has the most stuff wins. But Jesus says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. I remember when I used to work on the building site, and I was working on this one home at Cronulla. And it was really rich and nice house. And this guy had like a massive boat. And I was like, wow, that's a very impressive boat. This man must have some serious dough. And the next week when I turned up to work, he had a completely different boat, a bigger boat. And I'm like, what's going on here? And I said to him, oh, did you get a new boat on the weekend? And his answer to me was, well, I needed to have a bigger boat than my neighbours next to me, didn't I? I couldn't let them win. I couldn't believe it. Like, I couldn't even afford a canoe, and here's this guy going and buying a new boat. And he had that attitude, well, I need to win. Whoever has the most stuff win, storing for himself treasures on earth. And more broadly speaking, we need to be reminded, and we all know this, that we live in one of the richest, if not the richest country in the world. Yes, we are in debt, supposedly, but that aside, we still live in one of the richest, if not the richest countries in the world. Even if you are a poor university student, you're in the top 5% of rich people in this world. We get free education, we get free access to hospitals. We have stuff that other countries and other places envy. And so compared to the rest of the world, we are filthy rich. And you ever heard this saying before? But wait, there's more. Have you heard that before when it comes to money? Well, the other day, Angela and I were buying a new fridge because our old fridge decided to break down. It was on its way out for a while, but it finally went. And we needed a new fridge. Now, this new fridge that we got is slightly bigger than our old fridge, like 100 millimeters bigger. And so we got the fridge, and it sort of feels like our fridge is now slightly bigger than our kitchen. And we had this discussion. We went from needing a new fridge. Well, maybe we need a new kitchen. Well, maybe we need a bigger house. And so we went from simply needing a new fridge to 24 hours later talking about getting a new house. And I think that's what happens when you buy stuff, isn't it? You buy something and then you realize that you need more. You realize what you don't have. And you just want more and more and more. And it sometimes can be hard to be content with what you actually have. I heard heard this said on the radio recently. And this show maybe shows that I'm getting a bit old, like I listen to talkback radio now. And so they'll give me like some free financial advice. So I'm like, thanks. And this was the advice that was giving. They were saying this: if the budget is tight, the first thing that needs to go is your giving. You know what I'm saying? If your budget is tight, the first thing that needs to go is your giving. Get rid of that, save up a little bit more, and then you'll be able to give again. And I was just gobsmacked. They didn't say the first thing that needs to go is your plasma TV or your third car or your phone or your DVD collection, whatever it is. The first thing that needs to go is your giving. And Jesus is saying here, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. And Jesus points out the obvious. He tells us what will happen to our possessions. They will rust. They will be eaten by moths. They will be stolen. Look at what he says. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. What will happen to your treasures on earth? Well, that new car that you bought recently will one day be a rust bucket. That new phone that you just got next month will be an old phone. The new clothes you just bought in 6 months' time will be out of fashion. The things of this earth will not last. Either moths will eat it, rust will get to it, it could be stolen, and eventually it all just becomes kindling for God's big, enormous fire. This stuff does not last. And we cannot take it with us to the next life, can we? Like the Egyptians did when they got mummified and they would preserve themselves and they'd put all these precious items in their tomb and preserve them as well and in a room and preserve those treasures. And so they could take it all with them into the next life. As Christians, that's impossible anyway. And so Jesus says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. It's not whoever has the most stuff wins. It's whoever has the most stuff loses. And so what is the second point that Jesus makes here? Well, what should be the Christian attitude towards money and our possessions? Well, the passage continues. The Christian attitude should be this. This should be your attitude. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So what is the Christian attitude? What should be your attitude? To store up treasure in heaven. Now, exactly what is a treasure in heaven? Jesus doesn't really explain it here. But let's just look at a few places in the Bible where it refers to treasures in heaven. The first treasure is this, that in heaven we receive a crown of life from Jesus. Another treasure is this, that we receive heaven as an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. As Christian believers, these are treasures in heaven for you. And the ultimate treasure is this. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. These are treasures in heaven, that you will be with God and Jesus forever, that you will have an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, that you will have the crown of life on your head. And when you compare this to the possessions of this world, really, which one would you prefer? Obviously, the treasures in heaven. And how do we know where our treasure is? Well, we need to look into our own hearts. And Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your treasure is buried deep down in your heart. Might have even been reflected in what you would have spent your $50 on. When I was growing up, we lived near the bush, and there's always like fires near our house, bush fires, and so a couple of times we had to be evacuated. Now, when you have to be evacuated, you don't have much time to decide what your treasure is, what you value most. And so we had to decide in a short amount of time what things should we take with us and what should perish. And because my brothers and sisters and I, we were all pretty young, and so my mum would make those decisions for us. And so the first thing that she would pack is the four children. So four children in the car, check. Then she would pack the four rabbits, check. Then she would pack the budgie, check. Then she might pack some spare clothes. And then maybe some photo albums. But after that, there's not much room for anything else. Yeah. Oh, he was at work. Fled without us. We had to quickly decide what our treasures were. And if you had to decide quickly in that situation, what would your treasures be? What would you bring with you? Or what would you leave behind to perish? And I can't answer this question for you. And it's ultimately between you and Jesus. And he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be as well. But do you notice here that Jesus also focuses on our eyes? Look at what he says in verse 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. In them, the light within you is darkness. How great, if then the light within you is darkness, then how great is that darkness? Jesus says the eye is the lamp of the body. Our eyes need to be healthy. Our eyes need to be tested. And so I don't know if you've gone to the optometrist and you get your eyes tested. And one of the things they do is they put this like massive machine on your face. I don't know why this thing is so big. It feels like something out of Star Wars. They put this big thing on your face and they literally look into your eyes to see if your eyes are healthy. Now, what does Jesus see when he looks into your eyes? Does he see healthy eyes? And you can tell a lot from somebody's eyes, can't you? So, for example, we have tired eyes with the bags underneath. We have some stressed eyes with some stressed lines appearing. We have somebody who has a black eye, maybe been in a fight or some sporting injury. We have somebody who's surprised. We can tell that they're surprised because of their eyes. We have some sad eyes. And we have somebody who is in love. We can tell a lot from somebody's eyes, can't we? By just looking into their eyes, you can tell whether their whole body is healthy or not. Well, at least Jesus can anyway. And so again, what does Jesus see when he looks into your eyes? Does Jesus see this? Greed. Or does Jesus see that you are cross-eyed? Are you somebody that is cross-eyed? Are you somebody that has your eyes fixed on Jesus? Somebody who is looking to treasures in heaven? Because as Christians, this is who we are to be. We are to be cross-eyed. This is how we know whether our eyes are healthy or not. Do we have Jesus in our eyes? Do we have Jesus in our hearts? What does Jesus see? And then he says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. God or money. And so what might this look like as a Christian? Well, these are a couple of practical things that I've been challenged by with other Christians. And the first is this. I've heard people say, other Christians say to me, give until it hurts. Have you heard that saying before? Give until it hurts. And overall, I'm extremely encouraged by the giving of this church. Angela and I would not be here if it was not for the generosity of others. Our people were generous and so that we could be here, so I could do my role here at Eagle Vale. And I'm so extremely thankful that that's the case. And since being at Eagle Vale and that being our situation, we've been extremely challenged in our own giving as well. But furthermore, I've heard Christians say this, give until it hurts. It means, do you feel the pain when you give? Do you feel the sacrifice when you give? And I know for me, it's sometimes in a situation where I could be giving, there's an amount that comes to mind. And generally, that is the comfortable amount. Yes, I can afford that. But with this saying, and I feel like God's saying, you need to double that. Because when I double that amount, that's when it feels uncomfortable. That's when it starts to hurt, and I feel that separation between myself and my money. And so that's just one practical thing that I've learnt from other Christians who are generous. Another thing that I've heard Christians do that I need to do more is when they buy like a new TV or something, they go, well, this is how much we can afford for a TV. But instead of spending this much money on a TV, how about we spend slightly less, and that money that we would have spent, we can give that away. Or this is how much we can afford for a holiday. So it means actually we can afford to give this much away as well. And I know Christians that think like this, and I need to do this more as well. Because it's again about storing up, not treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. It's about having a healthy heart and healthy eyes for Jesus. And ultimately, it's not how you can best spend your money, it's how you can be a good steward of the money that God has loaned you. And then Jesus' teaching continues. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, it's no coincidence that immediately after talking about money, Jesus talks about worry. It's no coincidence that that happens. And the first thing that Jesus says here in this section is that he will provide for your basic needs. Look with me in verse 25 to 27. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? The point is here that Jesus will provide for your basic needs. Food and water and clothes. If you are a Christian, God will look after your basic needs. And how do we know this? Well, we saw him do it in the Old Testament, didn't we? In the book of Exodus, where he cared for the people for 40 years in the desert, provided them with meat and bread and water, provided their basic needs. And as further reminder to us, he says, look at the birds. God looks after the birds. And how much more valuable are you to God than the birds? And if God looks after them, he will look after you and provide your basic needs. So therefore, we don't need to worry, especially about money. We need to trust that God will provide for us. Again, he says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? When I was writing this talk, I could see like 20 galahs across the oval. I'm not talking like galahs in like school students, like galahs. And so 20 galahs. And I thought, yeah, look at God providing for those birds as they were just pecking away in the grass. And God looks after them. He'll look after me. He will look after you. Food and clothes and water he will provide. And he also says to us to look at the grass as well. Now this is where watching hours and hours of David Attenborough comes in handy. Because did you know that grass is nature's best survivor? It can grow in any continent, in any place, in any weather condition. God looks after the grass. He clothes the flowers of the field. Again, he will look after you. He will clothe you and he will provide for your needs. Look at verse 30. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So what do we do when we're worried? Well, we continue to trust in God. And if you need a little reminder, look at the birds and look at the grass. And Jesus says something else that is interesting here. He says in verse 32 or 31, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Do you notice here he says the pagans run after these things? The image that comes to mind for me is like the greyhounds, and they run around the track chasing that fake rabbit. They're running after this fake rabbit. I heard one time the machine actually stopped, and then the dogs didn't know what to do. They're just yelping at this rabbit. Is that you? Do you just run aimlessly after things that won't last? And you know they won't last, but you do it anyway. Or how about the Boxing Day sales? You might have been there yourself, or you might have seen it on TV. It's a stampede. People get injured. People literally run into the stores, buying clothes and whatever else is a good deal. And Jesus says, we are not to be like that. We are not to run after these things, to store up treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. We are not to be like that. Then what are we to be like? Well, in verse 33, it continues. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We are to be kingdom seekers. That's who we are to be. And it's interesting that Jesus says, all these things will be given to you as well. What things? Well, we know that he'll provide food and water and clothes. But what other things will be given to us as well? We'll receive a home. We'll receive family. We will receive an eternal inheritance. These are the other things that will be given to you as well. And this is reflected when Peter spoke up and said to Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and last will be first." And so what else do kingdom seekers receive? Well, kingdom seekers receive a home that is called heaven. Kingdom seekers receive an eternal inheritance. We are adopted into God's family. We have that crown of life on our head. So not only does God provide our basic needs, but all these things are given to us as well. It means that God gives us all we need, both now and into the eternal future as well. So therefore, Jesus says we don't need to worry. Don't worry about your life. And he says, don't even worry about tomorrow. Verse 34, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." So we're not to worry about our life, what we'll eat or drink or wear. We're not even to worry about tomorrow, because God will provide for you. He's already given us all that we need. And so You don't need to worry about your HSC. You don't need to worry and get completely stressed about your university degree. You don't need to worry about buying a house or worry about paying the mortgage or worry about keeping your job or getting a job or worry about retirement. There's always going to be something to worry about, especially when money is involved. And Jesus is reminding us today to store up treasures in heaven, to not worry about these earthly things, to be cross-eyed, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to us as well. And so what I'm not saying tonight is this. I'm not saying that you can't buy a new car or a new phone or a new house or a nice pair of shoes or go on a holiday. You can still do all that stuff. But what Jesus is wanting for us here, he wants us to have an eternal perspective on things. Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. And with all these things, have an attitude of thankfulness towards him. But what I am saying is this, what Jesus is saying is this, is that we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve God or money. We cannot do that. And it all comes down to your eyes. Where are you looking? You've probably heard the saying, keep your mind out of the gutter. Well, I want to give you a new saying tonight, and the new saying is this. Keep your eyes out of the gutter. I wear glasses, and I've been wearing them for a few years now. I'm always saying to Angela when I'm at home, where are my eyes? Because I take them off and I can't see. Where are my glasses? Where are my eyes? And so the other day, I was driving my car, and I switched these glasses for my sunglasses. And I put these glasses on sheets of paper that were in my passenger seat. And I pulled up at school to teach scripture. And as I got out of the car, I got the sheets of paper and my glasses fell from the sheets of paper and went straight down a drain. My eyes were literally down the drain. And then I had to reverse my car off the drain. I had to get a school student who was jigging. I was like, I won't tell anyone that you're jigging if you help me. And reverse my car off the gutter and lift up the drain and get the school student to hold it, then climb down the drain and retrieve my eyes from down in the drain. My eyes were in the gutter. And as I was down there, I was hoping that this student would like not drop the drain and then I'd be trapped in there. Then it would have been really embarrassing. What I am saying, what Jesus is saying is this. We cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve God and money. We need to get our eyes out of the gutter. We need to be cross-eyed. I have a few hashtags to finish off. If you're into that, hashtag serve one master, hashtag cross-eyed, hashtag get your eyes out of the gutter, hashtag get your eyes on the King.